Psalm 49. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish.
Thank you, Kay. Messenger during the week or at Tony this morning during the week, but she didn't get it, and then I asked her there a few minutes before the service and she was very willing to read. Thank you very much at short notice. It wasn't a short Sam. Lord, just pray that you'd help us as we look at your word, your precious word. Thank you for the words written there, written by people carried along by the Holy Spirit, words from you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this Psalm 49 and for the sons of Korah who wrote these Psalms. We bless you and help us now to learn from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there things you would like to have but can't afford? I'm sure all of us here have things on our bucket list that we will never be able to buy because it just costs too much. It's beyond our reach financially. But say you were in the top 50 rich list, there are still things that money can't buy. Even billionaires like Elon Musk or Bill Gates can't buy certain things, even with all their wealth. The Beatles sang, "Money can't buy me love." Ever heard that song? Or Freddie Mercury had a song called, "Money can't buy happiness." Here in Psalm 49, we read this morning of something that money can't buy, and that is eternal life. Living forever and not seeing decay. But wealth cannot buy where we go and spend eternity either. Only God can redeem us and take us to himself to be with him for eternity. So this is the final psalm we're looking at in this series of psalms for winter, written by the sons of Korah, Levites descended from Korah. They were temple musicians, as we heard before, and they composed these beautiful psalms, 42 to 49. That we've been considering over the past number of Sundays and Thursdays at home group. So let's look at this final one now this morning, Psalm 49, that Kay just read for us. And in the introduction, verses 1 to 4, in the first four verses we have just the introduction to this lovely psalm. The psalm is addressed not just to the Israelites, but to all you peoples, all who live in this world. No one is excluded. These are those of low or high position, to everybody, rich and poor alike. And the psalmist gets our attention. He says, hey, I'm talking to everybody. All of you reading or listening to this, I'm speaking words of wisdom here. This is a riddle, a wise saying, a proverb that I will put in song and accompany it on the harp. We've no harpists here this morning, do we? No, we don't. But they wrote it out, and there was a song, and they sang it and accompanied it on the harp. So what was the riddle? Verses 5 to 14. The riddle. Well, from verse 5, the psalmist compares himself to those around him, the wicked deceivers. The writer does not fear when evil days come. Who are those who do have reason to fear when evil days come? They are those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. This is simply idolatry. Wealth and riches, material possessions, are their God. Now, the Bible does present several godly rich men in the Old Testament, such as Job, Abraham, and King David, and many others. But in modern days, these men would have been probably the billionaires of those days. They read the Bill Gates and the Elon Musks. But they didn't boast or put their trust in their wealth or their riches like those in verse 6. They were men who made their boast in the Lord and not in material possessions. Would material loss trouble you? Do you get peace and security from your material possessions, constantly checking your bank account and stock portfolio, or constantly taking stock of the possessions that you have? What loss in life would trouble me, material loss or spiritual loss? You maybe have heard the misquote from that people think the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that one? Well, that's not what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul writes that the love of money is the root of all evil. Putting wealth before God, loving money, wealth, riches, possessions, property, and putting those as number one in our lives, the love of money would be a barrier to us following the Lord Jesus. Does that remind you of a story that Jesus told about the rich young ruler that Jesus spoke of in Mark 10:17-25? The man said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He told Jesus that he kept all the commandments, but Jesus knew there was something between him and trusting in God, and that was his great wealth. He was trusting in his riches. They were the number one, and he couldn't give them up. When Jesus challenged him to sell everything and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, "Then come follow me," Jesus said. The man could not. He went away sad, Mark tells us. Why is it wrong to trust in your wealth and to boast in your great riches? Well, not only is it a form of idolatry, but look at verse 7. It says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give God a ransom for them." Here is something that money can't buy. In verse 8, we read that the ransom for life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Money itself cannot rescue a life. Wealth cannot pay for a person to live forever in this life and not see decay, verse 9 tells us. The psalmist had seen the wise die as well as the foolish and senseless in verse 10, leaving their wealth to others. Despite their great wealth, they do not endure. They may have honor with lands or great estates, even named after them, but they still perish, verse 11 tells us. But despite all their great wealth, they die, verse 12. And this is the fate of those who trust in themselves and their accomplishments, and of those who follow them and look up to them, verse 13 tells us. They are compared to sheep and are destined to die, verse 14. But here in verse 14, then, we see light. We see that the upright will prevail over them, over those who trust in themselves in the morning. While those who trust in wealth and boast of great riches decay in graves, having taken nothing with them, in verse 14. In verse 15, the psalmist puts in this but God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He too will go to the grave, but he is confident that God will surely take him to himself. The truly wise man or woman who does not trust in wisdom or riches, but prepares for eternity by making their boast in the Lord, trusting the Lord for their salvation, for their redemption. When that morning finally comes, those who do not trust or boast in their wealth, the upright, they will be the ones who have confidence in death and in the world to come, because they have put their trust in God. They prepared for the next life, for the world to come. Speaking of the upright, those who trust in God, he will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself, verse 15, the psalmist says. He will receive me to himself, another version puts it. It's the same word as used in Genesis 5:24, where it says, Enoch, of Enoch God took him, for he shall take me, he shall receive me. It's so positive. It's like when God took Enoch. In verses 16 to 20, then, the psalmist tells us not to be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. While they live, they count themselves blessed, and people will praise them that prosper. But verse 17 says, surprise, they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not go with them. They came with nothing, and they will leave with nothing. As Steve was telling us last Sunday about the wealthy person that died and someone inquired how much did they leave, the answer was everything. They took nothing with them. As someone once said, you've never seen a hearse with a trailer to carry all the things the person has accumulated in their life to take with them. We come into this world with nothing, and we leave this world the same way. Yet, the psalmist can say, for the upright not to be overawed or to fear when those who do not love the Lord become rich. Why should we be overawed or fear this? We may be afraid because we think they prosper at our expense. Or perhaps we can be afraid because material things do matter to us. Or we can be afraid because we think God is blessing people with prosperity, and why are they prospering and we are not? Why aren't the righteous or the upright rewarded in such a way as the wicked, deceivers, in verse 5? But verse 17 tells us all of these people who trust in themselves and their possessions will take nothing with them when they die. They will take nothing to the world beyond. Their splendor, their glory, so to speak, that they enjoyed in this life will not be transferred to the next life. People will praise those who trust in their riches in this life, but not in the life to come. It will be short-lived. Do you remember Jesus in the parable about Lazarus and the rich man who Lazarus used to beg at his table? And Lazarus went to hell, and the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus was in heaven by the Lord Jesus. There was the rich man. He trusted in his riches. He didn't trust in the Lord, but Lazarus did. And he was with the Lord. In verse 19, the psalmist says that the wicked will never again see the light of life. They will experience the opposite, darkness. And then in verse 20, as in verse 12, the psalmist says people who have wealth but lack understanding, or in verse 12, people despite their wealth do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is a serious warning to those who basically trust in themselves and their own efforts and do not trust in God. Their honor in this world will not continue into the world beyond. That is into eternity. So this Psalm 49 is telling us not to put our trust in wealth or make our boast in riches. That is not to trust in our own abilities, but to put our trust in God. And this points us to the Lord Jesus. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to pay the ransom for our souls. He came for that very purpose, to redeem us. As we come to the end of Psalm 49, let's ask ourselves the question, how does this psalm point us to the Lord? Quickly looking at, just thinking of Luke 12, 15 to 21, which is like a commentary on Psalm 49, where Jesus tells us the parable of the rich fool. The man was a successful farmer. Nothing wrong with that, but he was full of ambitions and plans for the future. It was all about him. Until one day, God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich before God. And in Matthew 6, 19 to 24, Jesus talks about storing up for yourselves treasure in heaven. He says in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I wonder this morning, where is your treasure? In verse 24, Jesus says, you cannot have served two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Someone has written, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. These are the treasures stored up in heaven, putting God as number one in your life, saved by his grace and mercy. As we read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10, first we recognize that it's by grace we've been saved, through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then verse 10 says, after we've been saved, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Saved by grace, first, then good works that God has prepared for us to do after. The kind of person Psalm 49 talks about is trusting in himself, no preparation for eternity, all about self and nothing about God, and trusting in him. Another way we see Jesus in this psalm is that Jesus is our Redeemer. In verse 7 of the psalm we saw, no one can redeem the life of another. Even those with great wealth cannot pay the debt owed for themselves or for another. But then in verse 8 we read that the ransom or the redemption of a life is costly. As the hymn puts it, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What no one else could do, the Lord Jesus did by taking our punishment on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all. Jesus bought our redemption. He ransomed us. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross. Verse 15 of the psalm we read when the psalmist wrote, but God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. This is the blessed hope everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ has. 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter speaking about the resurrection of Jesus and about the resurrection of the dead and about the resurrection of the body. In verse 3, Paul writes, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And at the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 54, Paul quotes from Isaiah 25, verse 8, saying, death has been followed up in victory. And then in verse 55, he quotes from Hosea 13, verse 14, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And then going on the final few verses, Paul writes, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer puts it, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. And so it will be for all who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for him, us. What can be bought, what can't be bought by any wealth or riches that the world can offer, was bought by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. Only one person could pay the price, and that is the Lord Jesus. Back in the dim and distant past, when I was a child, we used to have a record and a record player. Yes, a record. Remember those things? At home. And then this song that I will always remember learning and singing and constantly teaching my children to sing it. All of them remember. It's called A Rich Man Am I. It says, I found something that money can't buy. I found a gold mine beyond the blue sky. I found a land where I'll live when I die. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. And the chorus says, people may say that I've been dreaming a bit, but I believe what I'm believing, and I'm not going to quit. The Bible says I'm going to live when I die. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. And I hope and trust this morning that each one of us here have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. That you have found something that money can't buy. That you found the Lord. And that you're rich in him because of surrendering your life to him. And trusting in his grace and mercy for peace with God. If you're not, may I plead with you today to come to him. The only one who can save anyone. And make your peace with God. Give your life to Christ. Trust in him and what he's done for you on the cross. We're shortly going to sing a hymn together called Rock of Ages. cleft for me. And this song has some lovely lines, just reminding us of how it's not our own works that can save us. It says, not the labor of our hands can fulfill the law's demands, or anything we can add either. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And this song reminds us it is the work of the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice in our place that cleanses us from sin's guilt and power, that all of for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the psalm today, reminding us that eternal life cannot be bought by any of us or by any wealth or riches in this world. Trusting in worldly possessions is pointless, and they cannot buy forgiveness from sin. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross in our place to pay the price for our sin. Thank you for your plan of redemption, for paying our ransom so we can have peace with God, forgiveness for sin, and a right relationship with you. We give you all the praise and glory, and we pray this in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.